Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. It is a short or momentary edition. I'm your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. And the capital city of Columbus, Ohio, was the center of some great wrestling action this past weekend. And folks, that's why I'm on here. I mean, I have other guests coming on, I have other episodes lined up, but I am so excited because I had one of the best wrestling weekends I've had in many, many years. I mean, it was chock full of fun. I saw some great action. I got to be in some cool venues, and I'm just here to share it with you. So with that being said, let's talk about it. Saturday night, I ventured to the LC Pavilion to see NXT. And then last night, Sunday night, I went to Nationwide Arena to catch Money in the Bank, the big pay-per-view for this month, emanating from this great, great city. And you know, there's a little bit of a story behind my adventure to go see Money in the Bank. I'm going to be frank and be very honest. I was not going to pay the money to go to this pay-per-view. I was just content to watch it on the network at home. But a friend of a friend, his name is Justin, he messaged me early in the week and said, "Hey man, I got a couple extra tickets through my work. We have a luxury box at Nationwide. Would you like to go?" And I said, "Sure. Free tickets, man, or free tickets. You know, I don't care if they were in a luxury box or not. They were free tickets. Just the fact that they were in a luxury box was the icing on the cake. Because let me just tell you right now, the one thing that I enjoyed more than the pretty good seats in terms of vision and in terms of seeing what's going on, the other thing that I enjoyed the most about that box was private bathroom, people. You didn't have to wait in line. You have to go to the bathroom, just go. But anyways, I digress. We're going to talk about Money in the Bank in a minute, but let's jump into Saturday night's NXT show from Columbus, Ohio. And I think I've said Columbus, Ohio more times in this momentary edition than I have probably ever in the history of doing this podcast. But what can I say? My excitement is bubbling over that I'm probably going to ramble quite a bit on this installment. But NXT, I think the crowd was pretty much the same in terms of being boisterous, of being loud, of being interactive with the stars of NXT. I think that the crowd was about the same size. I think that it might have been down just a little bit. It was stated as being sold out. And I can say that pretty much the downstairs level was, I think, in the standing room only area where I was at upstairs. There was still some space, unlike in March, where there literally was no space whatsoever in that venue. So I don't know. Maybe the LC was being a little more cautious, like, hey, we can't break fire code or whatnot. I don't know. But nonetheless, overall, I'm going to say NXT was really good. I'm giving it a grade of a B+, and I'll explain why here, but let's talk about what we saw. So I'm pretty much, I guess, not going to be spoiling anything for anyone, although I do believe that they taped some things for TV. But Enzo, Amore, and Big Cass had a really good match with the Vaudevillains. There was this big comedy spot in the middle that was kind of an impromptu boxing match. Very funny. Clearly, Enzo and Cass are over with the fans, but the Vaudevillains had quite a few cheers as well, and it was a pretty solid match, with Enzo and Cass getting the win via the old-school rocket launcher, via the Midnight Express. The next match saw Jason Jordan lose to Bull Dempsey. Now, Jason Jordan has been a gentleman that has been on NXT on the WWE Network, kind of involved in a tag team with Ty Dillinger, and they have been kind of on the losing end of things with other tag teams. So apparently over the weekend they've decided to give this gentleman a push. He's very very stout, put together. Bull Dempsey, as many of you know, probably a throwback to the Black Bart type of physique, which is now his shtick, is that he's kind of out of shape. And he plays it very, very well, and the fans got behind him. You know, I've gone on record saying Bull Dempsey's not one of my favorites in NXT, but I'm curious as to what they do with this particular face turn. We saw Blake and Murphy get a victory over Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder, which is the new tag team. Zack Ryder's been, I guess, asked to or told to or volunteered to go down to NXT. And you know what? Mojo Rawley, not another guy that I'm real big on, but with Zack Ryder, I think that he's a little more tolerable. The addition of Miss Bliss, Alexa Bliss, to the team of Blake and Murphy, I think is a positive. I think she does a very good job of playing that heel manager role. But talking about the ladies, right before intermission, Sasha Banks beat Charlotte in, again, what was a phenomenal ladies match. And, you know, 24 hours from Saturday, there was a Divas match. And, I mean, maybe I'll just jump right into it. Nikki Bella versus Paige. And at least it wasn't as bad as that as the previous pay-per-view's Diva match with Naomi thrown in. But it still was not up to par to what Miss Banks and Charlotte are doing in NXT. It was a really good match. Phenomenal. Probably went about 13, 14 minutes. Very well done. After intermission, we come back with Bayley and Carmella versus Emma and Dana Brooke. This, I think, was one of the weak matches. One of the reasons why I gave a B+. Though, it wasn't a terrible match because whoever booked this match had kept Dana Brooke to a very simple plan of a lot of tags to Emma coming in, stomp kick, rest hold, body slam, tag back out. So they hid Dana Brooke's inefficiencies quite well, even though the fans were on her case, man, a lot about the, quote, inability to wrestle, end quote. So, overall, not a bad match. We go to the worst match of the show, Baron Corbin versus Tyler Breeze. Breeze did get the victory, but then Baron Corbin attacked him after the match. Look, I've been very vocal. I don't dig Baron Corbin. I don't understand the gimmick. Apparently, they just threw Tyler Breeze in there, I guess, because throughout this tour in NXT, it's been Rhino and Baron Corbin. I would rather have seen that, but there was some things that just in the match, just to me, was not to my liking. So we're just going to leave it at that. But rebounded with an amazing main event in which Kevin Owens defended the NXT title by beating both Finn Balor and Samoa Joe in what was a really good three-way dance. Kevin Owens, I think, is showing everybody in the WWE and everybody that watches wrestling that he's the real deal, man. He's trimmed down a little bit, and that work rate has gone up. And, I mean, it was a pretty high work rate to begin with. I mean, let's be honest. He was damn good to begin with. He's just pushing it to another level. And we'll get into his match with John Cena here next. But overall, NXT very, very, very good. B+. And I will definitely plunk down my hard-earned cash to see NXT again if they come back around. So, well, let me take a quick sip of water. And now we'll talk about Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I gave this a C. I didn't think it was as bad as Elimination Chamber, but there was some mediocre things about this pay-per-view that I did not dig. I mean, the pre-show match, R-Truth gets a victory over King Barrett. You know, R-Truth seemed to have the crowd behind him. It was okay. It was nothing more than you would see on Raw or SmackDown. But they started the show with the Money in the Bank match, and that surprised me a lot. Because I felt that, you know, this is pretty much what this whole pay-per-view is built around, this match. And I was surprised by it. The individuals that were in it, I was looking for some really big things to come out of it, and it just didn't seem to happen. I mean, yes, Randy Orton gave the RKO to everybody, including Neville, off the ladder. Yes, there were some big bumps from Ziggler and Kofi Kingston, but overall, it was nothing we haven't seen before. And then, as everybody thought that Roman Reigns would win it, Bray Wyatt interferes, and that allows Sheamus to win. And it baffles me. Like, why Sheamus? I just don't get it. I guess that if you are trying to do something that the fans wouldn't anticipate and not go with Roman Reigns, I feel that you could just put it on, give somebody else the briefcase. By the way, side note, at the merchandise table, you could buy the gold Money in the Bank briefcase. Yeah, lots of them in the crowd. And of all the merchandise, if I was going to buy something, it would be that, because I would take all my papers to work in it. That would be sweet. Anyways, so Sheamus gets the victory. Like I said, I thought the Money in the Bank, this particular match, very mediocre. We go to Nikki versus Paige. Nikki wins after some twin magic chicanery, and, you know, again, I'm just saying, if you're comparing the Divas match between Banks and Charlotte to this from the night before, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't, I mean, you're comparing pretty much apples to oranges and not the same thing. That, there you go. Clearly, the NXT women's division is above and beyond what the Divas division is in WWE or on the main roster. We follow that up with Ryback versus the Big Show. Big Show wins by disqualification. You know, this match really, again, not very good because you have two big guys, and it was a pretty much, you know, what big power move can I do on you? What big power move can I do on you? It was kind of a snooze fest. I just gotta be honest. And then we go to the match of the night. John Cena gets the victory over Kevin Owens. Man, oh man, it was an amazing, amazing match. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I think we're seeing some of the best matches John Cena has put out there in a while. You know, what can you say? I mean, the match was just absolutely amazing. And if you haven't watched it already, you need to. Or heck, man, you need to just rewatch it. We came to the tag team titles, in which we had the New Day defending their titles against the Primetime Players. The Primetime Players get the victory and win the tag belts. I was happy with that, and I thought the match was pretty good. Although I think that maybe the Primetime Players may not hold those belts very, very, very long. I have a sneaking suspicion they might be transitional champs. And then the final match, the ladder match between Rollins and Ambrose. I thought it was a good match. I think the crowd kind of sat on their hands a little bit. Wasn't too happy about that. I thought that, you know, maybe the fans were tired after seeing Owens and Cena a couple matches before. But I thought it was a solid match. I thought it was good. Rollins getting the victory in what I like to call like the Hail Mary pass. Because, if you don't know, you know, they both went up to the ladder and they both fell off with the ladder in hand. But when they hit the mat, Rollins had in possession. So it was kind of a well-timed finish. Maybe not the finish that everybody wanted to see, but there you go. To close out, you know, I did overlook the fact that they did do a Dusty Rhodes tribute, which was very, very well done. I mean, you know, obviously we all know that Dusty Rhodes passed away the other day. Very, very shocking. You know, and obviously, you know, growing up as a kid of the 80s, Dusty Rhodes was one of the top guys. He, if not the top guy, depending on, you know, what feud he was involved in. And, you know, ultimately, the wrestling world lost a great, great performer and a great, great mind, a great astute master of the sport. You know, Dean Ambrose did a quick little promo that I don't believe was on the actual telecast to end out the show. So, Money in the Bank is in the books. With that being said, ladies and gents, I mean, you know, like I said, a C is okay. Obviously, it's not as good as an A or a B, but that was my wrestling weekend. And I'm telling you, man, I had a great time. It was an awesome, awesome weekend of wrestling. And, you know, wanted to jump on here and share it with you. But with that being said, let me tell you where you can share your thoughts and your opinions on what I've just talked about. You can do that in a couple different ways. One, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also tweet me at pvdmvp or check me out on Twitter. Oh, wait, that was Twitter. Check me out on Instagram, also pvdmvp. Again, it's my excitement, man. It's just got my head all in the clouds and just, you know, my brains are scrambled right now from this great weekend. But before I wrap things up here and keep it short, let's get into Orlando Faith. All right, my fave for this short or momentary edition of the PVD cast is wrestling related. And I think it's getting a lot of buzz via social media and just, you know, in regular media, I believe. My fave is, I just watched it, I believe, last Friday, and it is The Sheik, the documentary about the Iron Sheik. It is available on Netflix for those that do not know. Although, I believe you have to actually search for it, like go into the search queue, because I was just going through all the different, you know, suggestions for you and all those other tabs and couldn't find it. So if you search The Sheik, it'll show up. Thought it was a very good documentary. I found his early story to be very, very fascinating. As you probably know, if you're an avid listener of this very podcast, a good friend of mine, Dar Naragi, and his brother immigrated from Iran, and hearing some of their tales growing up in that country, a country that was involved in a lot of turmoil with the Ayatollah and whatnot. They're terrifying and also fascinating stories. So to hear that the Iron Sheik had a very similar experience, I found that to be interesting. And, you know, I think that ultimately, you know, some of the sadder parts of that documentary make you realize just, you know, how devastating life can be, especially when you have a tragedy of a child dying. I believe, truly believe that any parent that outlives their child, that's a tough thing to deal with. And you saw that, but then, you know, it kind of ends on a good note. The resurgence of the popularity of the Iron Sheik, a man who, quite frankly, helped to get Hulkamania started. And I know some people will argue that, but I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going to argue it, you're wrong. You need a strong heel for people to hate in order to bring along a great big baby face for people to cheer. That's just how it works. So those that disagree with me, you're wrong. End of story. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to keep it to 18 minutes because, well, as I said, it's a half episode. I'm going to be back here real soon with some other great episodes. I got some guests lined up, some cool things lined up. So tell a friend. Let them know about this podcast. Hell, tell two friends, three friends, whatever. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.